Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 106.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. And as always, we're going to kick off with our review of the week. So this one comes from Fanop from the US. She says, love these ladies. Every time I listen to a new Straight and Curly episode, I feel like Carly and Kelly have recorded it for me personally. I'm just going to interrupt myself here and say I love it when people say that because it's just – because I love it when – podcasts that I listen to are really relevant, and it seems to be that a lot of our stuff is relevant to people as they're listening to it. So I really love that. The way they chat is so open and inviting that I often find myself nodding or laughing along. I often daydream that I would run into them in the street and we could just continue the conversation from where it left off an episode. All their tricks and hacks are very accessible and I can either relate to them directly or learn something new from them. The Facebook group also adds such a personal element and offers a wealth of information. A wonderful community has been built from the work of these two amazing ladies. Thank you for all you do.
Oh,
that's so nice.
Thank you so much, Thanop. And can I just say, so Carly is normally the one that looks at our reviews and selects them for the show, but I did it this week. And in the review aggregator thing that I use, there's like 165 reviews in there. So first of all, wow, and thank you, everybody, because, you know, we did lose kind of like 80 reviews at the end of last year.
That was so heartbreaking.
Yeah. So thank you so much to everyone who has left a review. But second of all, like, I never read reviews because I like have this massive fear of them.
You're really against the podcast reviews for some reason.
It's very specific to podcast reviews because I'll quite happily read book reviews. And I did do some self-reflection on this today. And I think the reason is because podcasting is a very imperfect environment. It's a very challenging environment for me because it involves speaking off the cuff. And I don't often, you know, I don't always say things like exactly how I want to say them, or I'll say something and I'll think, oh, I could have worded that a lot better. And so I'm just always, you know, with the written word, like everything's edited. So if I put something out in the world, like I feel like I can fully stand behind it. Whereas, you know, sometimes in podcasting, you know, you can have a little bit of a brain fade, or you can just word something poorly. So I always kind of worry that in speaking off the cuff, I'll be, you know, inadvertently thoughtless or offend someone. And I'm so scared of reading our reviews in case someone says something like I've offended them. Cause then I'll want to be like, I know, I can't believe I said that either. And
I can't take it back.
And I can't go back and edit it. And what I meant was, and you know, so I've literally never read our reviews. But anyway, I was looking at these reviews and they're literally all 5 stars. So I started reading through some of them. And so many people said like they felt like we were their friends and that they've taken things they've heard on the show and they've implemented them and it's made their life better. That was so cool to hear.
Actually, that just reminded me of in the Facebook group today. I can't remember who it was.
I know. I've got the worst brain for this note to self as well. Look, I'm going to look it up.
This lovely lady said that she got up this morning and was having a grumble and was like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. And her 10-year-old was like, Mum, what would your future self say? And then she went to the gym and was like, her 10-year-old's been listening and absorbing Straight and Curly. And it just made my day that this little 10-year-old was like, Mum, seriously, future self. So I was so stoked. That was the nicest thing to read this morning.
Oh, it was Shana. And thank you, Shana. You literally made our whole year. And thank you to your 10-year-old as well. That's, yes.
Did you remember her name?
No, I just looked it up.
You're so sneaky. I was like, how did you remember that? I was like,
I do not remember names. I'm the worst details person. So yes, no, I totally looked that up. And Shana, thank you. That was just amazing. Carly, it's time for your random thing of the week. My favorite segment.
So my random thing this week is extremely random, but it's a game that Ben and I invented and it brings us so much joy. So I just really wanted to try to explain it to you guys.
You only had to say game that Ben and I invented and I'm already like just having visions of what this could be.
So the game is called Bum Around the Corner. And what you do is,
of course it is.
And what you do is, so we've always lived in really small apartments that usually, or houses that usually require us walking from the bathroom to the bedroom, either in a towel or naked. So we invented this game where you have to line yourself up perfectly with the corner, and then you get your bare bum and you like kind of push it around the corner, and you just sit there and wait for the person to notice it. So all they can see is just the side of your bum. It's just the side, and it's a naked bum. And the trick is to do it so that they can't see the rest of your body at all. It's just your bum hanging around the corner, and you just sit there and wait. You just wait until they notice. And the thing is that they notice a lot quicker than you'd think, because it's almost like, you know, when you can hear someone looking at you.
It's like a presence.
Exactly. And then when you're on the receiving end of a bum around the corner, it is just like the funniest shit you've ever experienced. It is so good. And so Ben and I just constantly try to catch each other out with a bum around the corner. And it's just so much fun, and it's just hilarious. Try really hard to make sure that no one can see you from any other angles while you're doing that, because it's not pretty. Because if you see, like, seeing a bum from the side is very funny, but if you are full frontal looking at the bum, not so great. But yeah, so just a fun little game that we play, and I'd really love it if I could start spreading bum around the corner to houses around the world.
If I told my daughter about that, my 5-year-old, she would be all over that. So I'm not going to, because she's just a little exhibitionist, and she would just think it's the funniest thing in the world. Okay. Recommendation of the week. My recommendation of the week. So I'm turning 41 this year. I'm a bit,
holy
like,
shit,
bit behind,
wow,
bit behind the eight ball on this. So I love tea, but the thing between tea and coffee that always gets me is how fast a cup of tea gets drunk. And it feels like I get to the bottom of it, and I'm like, oh, like that was so unsatisfying. That just disappeared in like 2 seconds. And then it occurred to me that maybe I need to buy a giant tea bowl instead of a cup. And now my whole, yes, life has changed. And where have I been for the last 41 years? So giant cups of tea, giant cups for drinking tea. Why has no one ever told me about this? That's what I want to know.
I've been on this train for years. So Ben and my mum have the same mug criteria. They like small mugs that are made of very fine bone china with really small handles. And that is just a nightmare of a mug for me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why would you bother with this? I want a big chunky mug, and it needs to be heavy, and I need to be able to fit all 4 fingers inside the handle. I'm not into this 2-finger bullshit. I need to be able to like properly fist my mug. It's a whole thing. And if I'm at someone's house, I'm like, just give me the biggest mug you have and give me a milky tea in it. Like none of this. And those little, like if you give me a cup and a saucer, I mean, I'm going to drink it, but I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah. This is it. Like 2 sips and it's done. What's the point?
Yeah. So my recommendation for this week is the movie The Incredibles 2. So I've waited 10 years for this movie. I think The Incredibles is definitely in my top 3 of Pixar films, which is quite unusual because a lot of people kind of sit on a Finding Nemo or maybe even Up kind of a situation. Incredibles has always been easily in my top 3. And it was, I went in without expectations, and I didn't watch the trailer because it was very important to me. And I watched it and I was just like, have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but I have read reviews. So I have an inkling of like things, you know, norms that it challenges.
Oh, yeah.
That's not it. It's just a good, great movie.
Oh, it's just across the board excellent. It was the norms that it challenges were great. Like we're just trying not to ruin anything, because there's a I'm just gonna stop because otherwise I'll give it away.
Short story, great movie, and Incredibles 1 was fantastic. So, and it's you. Were you nervous because you know, the second ones are never going to be.
Look, I had faith because they waited 10 years, so yeah. I felt like they were going to do a very, very good job. But my favorite thing is whenever I see any movie about superheroes or anyone with superpowers, I like meeting lots and lots of people with lots of different superpowers, and I never quite get enough. And in this one, they just managed to do it on so many different layers. And the half the story is Jack-Jack, the little kid, and the exploration of his powers. And it was just, I just got to the end and I like applauded in the cinema. I was just like, well done, you. Because it's so hard when things, it's kind of like waiting for the final Harry Potter book. Like yeah. There's so much expectation and so much love. Like it's pleasing fans is hard.
Oh, yeah.
In situations like that.
I would be scared for you as a fan. I'd be like, oh my God, I hope this movie's going to deliver for you.
Oh, it delivered so hard, like on every level. And I got to the end of it and I couldn't even think of one thing that needed fixing. It was brilliant. I loved it.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Go see The Incredibles 2. And if you haven't seen The Incredibles 1, watch that one first and then see The Incredibles 2.
Cool. All righty. So on to my next segment. And this is If You Were Our Best Friend. And Jessie, who nominated her own J name.
I know. I really wanted to make sure that we said that. So this person wrote through and then suggested a whole bunch of J names with their email. It was fabulous.
So I chose Jessie because that was my favorite. So she says, I have been struggling with friendship since I moved to a new town 2 years ago. It is a small town, about 8,000 people. So I bump into people on the street and I work at a hospital, so there are lots of staff to talk to. But I struggle to get from hallway/lunchtime chats to socializing outside work. I had a group of friends in my previous town where we could call each other at short notice and organize a get-together, and I really miss that. I've tried multiple times to plan get-togethers like dinners or drinks or movies, but they mostly fail. For example, of two people I work with, I've seen one outside of work once and the other twice in 2 years, and they were both at the work Christmas parties. I get to a point and feel I should give up asking people if I keep getting told no. I know people are married, have kids, have busy lives, etc. Do I keep trying, or is it time to accept work friends are only going to be at work? Cully.
This is an excellent question, and I do think we need to cover more stuff on this because it comes up quite a lot, particularly in the group. Mm. Adult friendships seem to be a course of contention for a lot of people. My advice is to think about other untapped resources for potential friends that you could focus on. So if you've got kids, hit up other parents. If you play a sport, go for drinks after the game and that kind of thing. In my experience, and I honestly don't know if this is typical, I've been out of the traditional workforce for about 5 years now. But before then I taught relief in schools. But I was regularly in schools and was kind of, you know, part of social groups in schools and stuff. But in my experience, work has never really been a particularly good place for meeting friends. Mainly because the fact is that the only thing you have in common with your work friends is your profession. I've personally found that hobbies, things like theater, blogging, and crochet have yielded much higher results in friendships. I've also found that when I've made friends through work, the friendship tends to only last as long as I'm in that workplace. I think definitely keep trying to catch up with work people, especially if there's something specific, like if there's a movie that you spoke about or a bar that you wanted to try. I really encourage workplace friendships. I personally, they've never really been a big thing for me. I'm only friends with one person currently that I met through work, I think.
Yeah.
So that's pretty – is that weird? Is that the same with other people? Is that unusual?
I think it so depends on where you work. Like when I used to work in sports admin, I was friends with a lot of people there. But because we didn't just have our workplace in common, we had our love of sport in common. So
yeah.
That was a bit different, I think. But, yeah, and then when I became a graphic designer, I wasn't friends with – I didn't go out with people from work, but I was friends with people from my sport. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if that's good advice or not, but just personally, that's what's worked for me the most. All of my friendships, if I count the 10 people I speak to the most, I didn't meet a single one of them through work.
Yeah, I would say all my friends are through, you know, all my very best friends is kind of like one from school, one, yeah, and then mostly from, like, not even from uni, like it's pretty much all from triathlon.
Same.
Or writers and bloggers. That's pretty much, you know, for my hobbies.
Yeah, same.
So I do know, Jesse, that from experience that it's so important to have friends that you can be sure of, like, you know, you can call them for a coffee or an unplanned catch up, like a kind of a spontaneous thing, and chances are they'll be available and up for it. And I know how the lack of that would be frustrating and, you know, a bit, isolating. But in the absence of those kind of friends in this new town of yours, and given your friends seem to be adults with partners and kids and busy lives, I do think your best bet for building new friendships is probably not organizing things like dinner and drinks and movies, because all of those things kind of involve a future commitment. Maybe this is just a me thing, but I personally hate future commitments because I don't know what my energy levels are going to be. Like, so all the stuff I've got going on in my life, like if someone says, shall we go somewhere next Friday for dinner? I always go, yes. And then next Friday comes around and I'm like, I really wish I did not make that commitment because I'm so knackered. I much prefer like being around people and then them going, oh, we're just going to grab a coffee, or we're just going to go down to the park. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yes, I do feel like doing that right now because I do have the energy levels for it. So I find, yeah, being a busy person with kids and family and all that kind of stuff, spontaneous in the moment type catch-ups work better for me, but you have to kind of be around people and in situations where those spontaneous kind of catch-ups occur. So if it's only work where you're seeing other adults, that's so hard because then it means you're kind of limited to lunch breaks or maybe going for a walk after work in the afternoon or something.
And generally, particularly in hospitals, and the same with schools, people are not at their best when they've finished their shift. It's very tiring, very involved work. And I just knew when I was teaching, if people suggested catching up after work, I'd be like, I can't even talk to anyone. Yeah. I need to not be around people right now. But then, you know, if I ran into someone on a Saturday and they're like, oh, I'm just going to go grab a drink, do you want to come? I'd be like, yeah. So I think it's also about catching people at the right moment as well.
Yeah, and that's it. And so it means you have to put yourself in a place to catch people at the right moment. And it means like, because I just think like when I used to do CrossFit, like, you know, I know a few of the girls used to go for breakfast after CrossFit and they developed a friendship that way, but it was, they could only do that because it was convenient to them and it was in the moment kind of thing. So you have to, I'm with you, Carl, in thinking that hobbies or social kind of things outside of work might be the best kind of fodder. But the other thing is, you do have to ask and you do have to put yourself out there, and that, which means you do have to put yourself up for rejection. And I know like
that is hard.
It's hard. Like I know I'm the same sometimes with the mums from school. Like I'll try to organize something during the school holidays and someone will be, they'll be away and that person has something on. And I have to like constantly remind myself it's, you have to ask because it's nice to reach out to people, but understand that if they can't come, it's not you personally that they don't want to see. It's like they've just got something on. And, you know, you just keep putting it out there and eventually it'll happen. But I know the feeling of you kind of throw out the invites and there's always something on and the person can't make it. And then you think, well, do they just not like me, or is it like they're just really busy? So it's hard.
It's also winter, like, and I am hibernating hard right now. Like, I haven't even seen most of my best friends because it gets dark at 5:30 and I don't want to leave my house and they don't want to leave their houses. So I've got that group of friends because I've lived in Melbourne for a long time. So I have that group that you used to have where you used to live, and I'm not even seeing them very often. So it might even just be a seasonal thing where if you were living back in the city you were living in before, you wouldn't be seeing that group anyway because everyone's too cold and miserable.
Yeah, it's hard. Adult friendships are hard. We need to do another podcast on this, I think.
We do.
Okay, so the topic of this week is, and thanks for asking, Lucy, what our days look like. And she said, I'd love a rundown of both your day-to-day weekly routines, things like grocery shopping, cooking, cleaning, life/house admin, errands, etc., and how to not feel like you spend your whole time in this endless cycle of doing these things. All right. I'm getting ready for my big monologue here about, you know, you always feel a bit weird doing these like day in a life things. You're like,
yeah, you do really feel
it.
It's like,
absolutely no one.
It's like, because we're so fascinating, Kelly.
I Okay, so trying not to think I'm a loser. So everyone already knows my day starts at 4:15 a.m. I get up and I have a huge glass of water with some lemon in it while I scroll through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So that's a little bit of my me time when I wake up. And that's kind of like I'm giving myself permission to do something mindless when I've just first woken up. I then pack the kids' lunch boxes. So I make sandwiches and baked stuff on the weekend and I freeze them so that packing lunch boxes is literally just pulling fruit out of the fruit bowl, you know, putting pretzels into two containers, grabbing stuff out of the freezer and packing their lunch boxes. It takes like 3 minutes. If it's a Monday, I do tend to also throw in a load of laundry. I do all the washing and drying of clothes because I hate how Aunt hangs clothes on the line, and I have given him many, many lessons, and I've just come to accept that. It's just best if I do it.
It's just not happening.
And I know that's a bit of a, like a planned, what is it? Planned incompetence thing, but it's just literally, he just doesn't care. So I've put pictures up before where he just throws the thing on the line straight out of the basket and puts a bag on it instead of shaking it out and putting it on the line in the shape that it should dry. And I can't deal with it. So I do all the washing and hanging up of clothes, but I have, Mel, who I call my wife. She comes, so she's...
Because everyone needs a wife.
Because everyone needs a wife. Aunt calls her his second wife, and I'm like, oh, no, no, no. Mel is my wife. She's not your wife. Not your second wife, not your first wife. And she's nothing to you.
Ben calls his car my sister wife.
So Mel, who is my wife, comes on a Monday afternoon, and she will fold whatever there is to fold. So I try to have, like, everything, like the washing basket completely empty, so she's got lots of folding to do.
And so you make it like really worth her while.
Yeah, she's so stoked. But anyway, so from 4:30 in the morning to 7 a.m., I used to write, but the reality is right now I am using that time to kind of get on top of two inboxes and clear out like any little home and work admin jobs I can deal with and plan for my day ahead. So my goal in those early hours of the morning is to set up my day so that once I'm home from school drop off, I can hit my day hard and nothing can stand in the way of productivity. And that's just how life is right now. It used to be that those were my writing hours. My work situation at the moment just doesn't allow me to have those hours for writing, and that's just unfortunate, and I'll get back there one day. 7 o'clock is when our kind of family's day starts. So the kids are allowed out of their beds at 6 a.m. They were getting out of bed at like 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, God,
that's inappropriate.
Oh, no. This is mummy's time. You are not getting up that early. So I put alarm clocks in both their rooms. And I'm like, I don't care what time you wake up. You don't get out of bed till 6. Here's the 6. so they know they're not to disturb me till 7. So between 7 and 8:30, that's in the morning. That's when I exercise. I help the kids with their breakfast and getting ready for school. And I just kind of generally ensure the house is in order. Again, so that once I'm home from school drop off, because I don't want to be doing any chores, I need to be working. So all chores are dispensed with before school drop off. I'm home from school drop off around 9 a.m. and from 9 till 3, I'm just very much motoring through the work that needs to be done. I kind of very much try not to do any chores during those hours unless, like, I feel like, you know, I need a mental break, and then I might hang some clothes on the line or something. 3 o'clock, the kids are home from school, and either Aunt or I do the pickup, or Mel does the pickup. And usually I'm kind of on the computer for an hour or so doing little final bits and pieces of work for the day. And then I deal with dinner if Mel's not here, and after school sport. So Mel sorts dinner twice a week. Everyone should have a wife, just saying. So Mel sorts dinner twice a week. So that's two afternoons a week. I don't even have to think about that. And then on the other afternoons, like, she might make ahead something for me. So she might make taco meat that I then just have to make into tacos. And then in the early evenings, we try to have dinner by 6 o'clock, and we aim to be all cleaned up from dinner by 6:30 so that as a family, we can kind of chill out together before the kids go to bed. The kids are in bed somewhere between 7 and 7:30. And, you know, kids they have like these bedtime shenanigans, like they need glass water, they take 2 hours to brush their teeth, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, we start doing that at 7. So that's
me as well. I have a lot of bedtime shenanigans. I'm like, I need more water. I need to go to the toilet.
Aunt goes to bed. He goes to bed. I go to bed. It takes half an hour. So I shouldn't really have a crack at my kids. So we make sure that by the time all their bedtime shenanigans are finished, it is 7:30. At the latest, we watch our show and then we are in bed by 8:30 a.m. And that is my pretty much every single day, even the weekends quite often.
You being in bed by 8:30 just stresses me out. I just like if I had to go to bed at 8:30, I'd feel like I was being punished.
Well, you know when the kids like grumble about having to go to bed at 7, I'm like, I wish I could go to bed at 7, mate. Like, you know, but no, I'm going to stay up and watch The Good Wife with Daddy. So, you know, sucks to be you. Here's a way that we vastly differ. Here's Carly's day on a plate.
Yeah, so my day is very different to Kelly's. My day starts at 6:30, which is when I get up. I get dressed and go to the gym. At the moment, because it's really cold, I've been scheduling the heater to be on for like half an hour before I get up, so it's all nice and warm, so I'm not dying when I'm getting dressed in the morning. My gym class is from 7 to 8, and then when I get home, I shower and get ready. I kind of potter around because we've got lots and lots of blinds in the house. And I know this sounds really weird because I used to live in an apartment where we had one window. It takes a good kind of like 5 minutes to set up the house in the morning. So I kind of wander around and open up the blinds and tidy things up and potter around, and I'm usually listening to a podcast while I do this. And then I'm sitting at my desk between 8:30 and 9 a.m. every morning. And then I work in chunks. So I work from 9 until 12, and then I take a half an hour break. Sometimes before then, Ben and I will go for a walk and get a coffee at about 11 a.m. I always make sure I leave my phone at home during this time because we use this time to chat about our businesses and things that are bothering us and workshop any problems that we have and that kind of thing. Then at midday, I make eggs and pan-fried veggies for lunch. I generally fast from 8 a.m. the night before until midday the next day. So that's kind of my first time eating for the day. So I have eggs and veggies for lunch, and I've had that pretty much every day for a year because it takes all of the decision-making out of it. So I just have the same thing every day. And then I eat my lunch away from my desk, usually listening to a podcast because I like to have screen-free breaks. Then I work my next chunk of time, which is from 12:30 to 3:30. Then I take another break. Usually I'll have a salad or something and listen to a podcast or an audiobook for half an hour. My next work session is from 4 until 6. Or if we can, we often clock off early, so we'll stop work at around 5 p.m. and go for a walk. Then we usually make dinner. I'll pop a curry or a soup in the pressure cooker. If we don't have any groceries, we'll both go for a drive and grab some groceries or do any errands that need doing. We eat dinner around 7 p.m., clean up, and then we'll sit on the couch. We usually work most of the evening, but we kind of work on fun stuff. So yeah. Most evenings I crochet and Ben will do like some design work or he'll potter around the house. He's become very handy in the last couple of months. Like he just kind of goes around and fixes little bits and pieces and, you know, fixes things up. And we very rarely sit down and do nothing. We're very active relaxers. So our evenings are always,
I like that. You know, I'm an active relaxer.
Yeah, hugely. So he's always off like painting something in the corner and I'll be, you know, gluing some shit together or something. We're always doing something. I tend to go to bed at around 11 p.m. and then I'll read and hopefully fall asleep. Is that freaking you out, Kelly?
Well, it's just Kelly's funny, like, I've been asleep for 3 hours by then. Last night, he plays like on a Monday night league and the game is at 9:40 and I can't sleep until he's home. I just don't sleep if he's not at home. So I was just – and Jaden was with him, and I'm just like, I can't believe what any Jaden did. It's on a school night, but okay, whatever. And so I didn't go to sleep till 11 last night, and I'm cactus today. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
So anyway.
Yeah, no, I just – I like 11 – if I'm in bed – like with the lights off by 11, I'm very proud of myself because I'm past midnight, I'm completely useless. Like I can't do anything past midnight, but like leading up to that, I'm also, useless. Again,
I guess there are.
You are?
Who's not useless past midnight, but I guess there are people.
Oh, we'll see.
Well, Ben.
Well, Ben doesn't usually go to bed until around 2 p.m. So, and he wakes up at about 9-ish when I'm back from the gym. So we, our sleeping schedule is out by about 2 or 3 hours, which works quite well because I come home and bring him a coffee and that kind of thing. It's hard though, because he still gets shamed for sleeping until
we've
9.
Spoken
and
I'm about
but he was up until 2.
He's getting 7 hours sleep. It's not any less virtuous going to bed at 2
exactly.
and waking up at 9.
Yeah, exactly. And he can't sleep before then. So it's like that's just when his natural circadian rhythms do its thing. So, yeah, and then maybe once a week we'll have a mate over for dinner or go to someone's house for dinner, and that's a pretty typical weekday / night for us.
Yes. So Lucy then asks, when do all the errands get run and chores get done? So I set aside an hour a week to pay bills and take care of admin that can't be done in 1 minute. And I think you're similar, Carl.
I'm the same. Yeah, it's about an hour, and I do like bills, invoices, checking my credit card, making sure that my VA has been paid and my tech editor for Crochet Coach has been paid and all that kind of stuff. And that takes about an hour a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing that I do is if like something drops into my inbox, you know, it's like a little bit of school admin or just, you know, all those tiny little things that you just are part and parcel of running a house, if it can be answered or taken care of in 1 minute or less, I will do it immediately because I really hate things stacking up. So yeah, if it can be taken care of in 1 minute less, I do it. If it's a bill that comes in the mail, it goes in a pile and that gets done in like the weekly hour thing I do. Food shopping, I do it online and I generally order it on a Thursday so that it gets delivered on a Friday afternoon. And that just saves us having any need for us to go to the shops on the weekend. But it also allows me to make school lunchbox sandwiches and anything else that's going in lunchbox. Like it's all there and I'm able to do it on the weekend.
Yeah, we do a big shop on Sundays because we eat really similar food every day, so it's super easy. But we also work from home and, you know, we don't have kids, so they, like, don't go to school and we don't have a need for preparing food that's going to leave the house. We eat 90% of our meals at home. So we just do a really big shop, pop everything in the fridge. It's just so much quicker. It also gets us out of the house. And we also do all of our grocery shopping together pretty much all of the time. Because, you know, leaving the house is a bit of a treat because we work from home. We're kind of like we'll clock off at the end of the day and Ben will be like, oh, you know, let's go to the shops and do the grocery shopping. And so we, you know, get in the car and off we go and go for our little daily trip. So it's like, I know that's very rare because most people are like, oh, I don't want to go to the shops on the way home. I just want to go home.
Yeah.
But it's, but we really like doing it together and, you know, hanging out and picking our things together. And it just, yeah, that way neither of us resents it and it's not left up to one of us to do it.
Yeah.
So,
Cool. So as far as weekends go, as a family, we keep our weekends very free of commitment. So both kids play sport on both Saturday and Sunday mornings, which is great because it gets us out of the house, which is crucial, especially with my kids, especially with Mia because she's crazy. She needs to be run. So we run them in the morning and then it just means that the afternoons are ours and we kind of relax hard on the weekends. I actually have even been known to lie on the couch and just watch the footy.
Whoa.
I know.
Stop it, Kelly. You're ruining your perfect image.
Weekends, the only reason we can go as hard as we do during the week is because our weekends are very, very low key. We tend to not go out. We wouldn't leave the house if it wasn't for Mia, to be honest. But it's good for kids to play sport, just saying. And what it means is if there are chores to be done on the weekend, I try not to leave chores for the weekend. I try to do any chores during the week. But if there are chores to be done on the weekend, I can do them really slowly. So it's a form of active relaxation when you're not, you know, yeah. So what about you? What are your weekends like, Carl?
Ours are really similar. Like I scrimp a little bit on sleep during the week. So if I can't get to sleep before midnight and I have to be up at 6:30. Most nights I'm only getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep, which is fine. Like I can definitely survive on that. But we generally have a pretty decent sleep in on Saturdays, and we've got a TV in our bedroom that we don't actually use except for Saturday mornings. And I make Ben breakfast in bed on Saturdays and we watch cartoons. Yeah, and sometimes like look, I won't lie. It's pretty adorable. Our favorite is We Bear Bears, which is on, it's such a great show. If you've never watched it before, it's about three bear brothers, and it's very funny and very dark and really weird, but it's really great. And so so I'll go and make breakfast, and we're usually awake at about like 8 or 8:30, and then I make breakfast, and then we just kind of lay in bed for a while and watch TV, and we'll watch all of those like Texas Flippin' Move shows and International House Hunters, and it's just great watching something that requires zero attention.
Yeah.
And it's crap, but it is so nice. And often sometimes we'll stay in bed until like 10:30 and we'll just be there for 2 hours, just lying there, just being like, because we don't relax properly ever.
Yes.
Except for this like little chunk of time on Saturday morning. So we'll do that. And then we'll get up and grab a coffee. We generally go to Bunnings most weekends because we're just those people. We'll go and get like some plants or something, and Ben will have to buy a weird thing, or, you know, we're doing that a lot. We also like catch up with friends as well. I've also been doing lots of Sunday walks at the moment, which are great. It's getting people to leave their houses in winter in Melbourne is almost impossible because it's just dark and cold. So sunny afternoon walks with coffee seems to be a really good thing. Yeah, but before I do my afternoon walk on a Sunday, I do Smug Sunday. Mm. And if you follow me on Instagram @Smaggle, I do my chores on Sunday. So I'll like change the sheets on my bed, or, you know, make some make-ahead meals so that future me will thank me for the Sunday that I had.
Good old future you. So as far as cleaning goes, I personally am a neat freak. Like, Ant's pretty neat as well, which is great, but I'm a tidy as you go person. Like, I can't stand like letting things build up to like a horrendously, you know, shit everywhere kind of thing, and then doing a massive big cleanup. Whereas Ant's the opposite. He can relax like in chaos, knowing that he'll get to it. So, I do more tidying for this reason, because I tend to tidy as I go. But if I do get too tired and over everything and I'm just like, nah, I'm not even, I know if I leave it, he will get to it. So as a rule, we keep things tidy together, and then we have cleaners who come once a fortnight, and then they do the proper cleaning stuff, which is, you know, showers and floors and bathrooms and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, what about you guys?
We're pretty similar. I'm not a complete freak about it, but I do like living in a neat and clean house. At the end of our work day, we both do a power half hour. So we tidy things up and do a quick vacuum, unstack the dishwasher, that kind of thing, so that we just have a lovely clean house to relax in the evening. The same thing happens with weekends. We just both enjoy living in a clean house. So it just kind of becomes part of our day to make that happen.
Yeah, that's it. I do a 10-minute tidy every night before I go to bed. So just anything that's kind of been left, you know, something left out on the corner, or, you know, I've kicked the cushions off the couch because I've been laying on the couch or whatever, I just restore our living area back to kind of like the reset point. So it just means that when I come down in a 4:15 in the morning, everything is as it should be, because I came down this morning because Ant had been at basketball last night and he got home quite late. He left his dish in the sink and I wanted to kill him because that ruined my 4:15 in the morning vibe. So people that can just put stuff in a completely empty and clean sink, who can do that? anyway.
Who did I even marry?
Who is this person in my house? The final one is kind of cooking. And as mentioned, my wife Mel takes care of that twice a week and then does prep kind of for two other nights. And for me, cooking is a massive drag. I don't like it. I hate it. I do it because Ant's doing other stuff.
You need to eat.
Yeah. And just our house is a nightmare because we've got nut-free, dairy-free, gluten-free, like far out. It's crazy. So I take care of making sure that everyone is – like Ant will cook, but he'll kind of cook whatever's easy, whereas I cook what's both healthy and easy. So I take care of cooking because I care about what we eat more than he does. but we do tend to spend the bulk of our entertainment money on eating out because I flat out refuse to cook on the weekends. So we do go out a lot. So yes, that's my great shame.
Ben and I, we're quite different with cooking actually. So Ben and I both enjoy cooking. I tend to do it slightly more than Ben, but that's mainly because 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is a very good international time and most of his team are overseas. So that's kind of a prime time for catching up for work for him. So he's often in meetings at sort of prime cooking time. He always cleans up the kitchen, whether he cooks or not. And I don't actually know how that happened, but I'm not going to complain. And it's just become a thing that it's his job to clean up the kitchen.
Make sure nobody hears that.
No, I just, oh, sorry guys.
Make sure that it's like not said, it's just keep going with it.
Yeah. Don't make it be like an unusual thing. So I don't know how that happened. It just did, but we also have like categories of cooking that we're particularly good at. So he's really good at meat. He actually, worked on an app a few years ago that was for cooking the perfect steak. So he's done all of this research on how to cook meat perfectly. So if there's meat to be cooked, he's usually the one that cooks it. And I'm better at like vegetables and, you know, salads and, you know, being sort of creative with the things around the meat. So we're actually very good being chef and sous chef.
Ew, nice.
But I really enjoy my time in the kitchen. Like I pop on a podcast and pop around and, you know, do my little bits and pieces. And also we bought a pressure cooker this year and it is the best.
Yeah,
it's like,
I need to investigate this pressure cooker thing.
Well, because I've got a blog post going live tomorrow. So it'll be, I'll make sure I pop it in the group, but slow cookers are basically like, oh, sorry. Pressure cookers are like slow cookers only fast. I'm not even kidding. Like we had a slow cooker for years and loved it. And now we have a pressure cooker and you can make an amazing curry in like 12 minutes. Like why? Guys, if you have a slow cooker, use it until it breaks. Then when it breaks, replace it with a pressure cooker. It's a life-changing thing. It's so good. So yeah. And I just really enjoy it. Like I just pop it in the pressure cooker and clean up the kitchen while dinner's cooking. And then within 20 minutes, the kitchen's clean and I just realized I said that Ben cleans up the kitchen. He cleans up the kitchen if I haven't managed to do it while I've been cooking.
Right, cool.
If I leave the kitchen in a state, he's the one that cleans it up. But yeah, it's pressure cooker, man. It's the best.
Nice. So the final thing that Laura asked was, how do you feel like you're not in an endless cycle of doing these things? So I do think it's important that everyone in the house has jobs and importantly knows what their jobs are. So like, cause quite often we give people jobs in our heads and we actually fail to communicate it clearly to them.
Yes. Yeah.
So before school, like Mia's job is to tidy the playroom. Jaden's job is to return the living room, which is kind of like they like to make cubbies and stuff and it kills me. But as long as I return it to kind of reset mode before school, it's fine. Ant and I tend to clean up together. I take care of the laundry because I hate, you know, as mentioned, I hate how he hangs things on the line. And I take care of all our life admin because I do feel it's important kind of in a family with kids. It's important for one person to have control of that. Otherwise things slip through the cracks. And for me, it's easier to take care of everything than it is to have to deal with things that have slipped through the cracks and are now urgent. Like that frustrates me more than having to deal with everything. So I take care of the house admin and Ant takes care of all the business admin. And there's a lot of that. I think the most important things I do to ensure I never, you know, I'm not on that hamster wheel or, you know, or that treadmill that never stops is, you know, I relax hard on the weekend, but also I have white space in each day, which is, you know, it's time where I'm doing stuff, but I can just meander my way through it, you know, and I think back to days, you know, times in my life where like I was very scheduled, like every minute down, you know, down to the second was scheduled and I was just
that's me.
And it's just like I'd be like straight from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing and that stressed me out, whereas now I'm busy but because I have these pockets of white space and slow moving, you know, slow points in the day, I don't feel overly busy and stressed, even though I guess to other people I would appear to be. But, you know, I also take on less stuff now, so I ensure that my days can have those pockets of slow in them. Yes, that's me.
Yeah, I personally think to avoid that hamster wheel thing, in my house, the thing that makes a big difference is equitable division of labor. It just makes such a big difference. So a few years ago, Ben was very ill. This was about 2 years ago, and he had a really long, slow recovery from some like ear, nose and throat surgery he had. And so for almost 2 full months, I had to do everything around the house, and it sucked. And he was really, really sick, so he couldn't do anything about it. But I started resenting him. I was like, this is horrible. And I didn't want to because he was so sick. But I was like, this is awful. And I just couldn't wait for him to get better so I could get some help. So I do feel like if I lived with a partner who didn't pull their weight around the house, chores, washing, and house maintenance would be a much, much bigger issue. Ben and I make things, it's a real team effort for us. And sorry, this is another random Carly thing. We've actually got a song that we sing together. So are you guys ready? It goes, teamwork, teamwork, working as a team. There's no I in team. There's just you and me. And so we sing this song like when we're going to do a teamwork thing, like if we have to do something we don't want to do, like, you know, we have to hang a picture that we've been avoiding hanging, and then Ben will be like, team A will go and get the hammer, and I'll be like, team B will go and get the picture, and then we go, teamwork, teamwork, working as a team. So we tend to sort of make a bit of a joke out of it and have a bit of fun, and yeah, I just think doing things as a team is so nice. So if you can try and make it a bit of a teamwork situation, have a bit of a giggle, yeah, I think that makes it much less hamster wheely and much less resentful times.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, as much as we want people, our partners especially, to see what needs to be done and just do it, if they're not that kind of person, it's not usually because they're a-holes. It's because they just don't care as much as you. So if you're the person in the house who cares more, and I have guy friends who are the ones in the house that care more, therefore they do more. So I don't think it's a gendered thing necessarily. But if you're the person in the house that cares more, you're always going to end up doing more stuff. If you need help, give people jobs. And, you know, as much as, yeah, like I said, as much as we just like people to just see that something needs to be done and do it, we can sit around and wait for that to happen forever, or we could just give people jobs. So on to our final segments for the day. The first one is kicked ass. So this is where Carly and I share things that we kicked ass at for new listeners. And we think it's important to, you know, celebrate things that have gone well, but we will also commiserate things that haven't gone so well in the next segment. So the kicked ass for this week, I'm quite proud of myself because I've certainly not been perfect at this, but I feel like I have been really good lately at communicating with clients and setting clear expectations of what I'm going to deliver and when. And it's just making life easier. And it's also making it easier to delight people because, you know, all anyone ever wants is for someone to just do what they say they're going to do. And I feel like I've been able to do that a lot lately. So, yeah.
That's really good. That's a big one.
Yeah, thank you. I'm quite proud.
particularly for you because you're a bit of a people pleaser.
I'm a bit of an over-promiser and then an over-deliverer. And this is a new thing for me to make realistic promises and then just deliver on those promises instead of over-delivering on them. Yes.
So my thing is that we're planning a holiday to Japan in September, and I've already done most of the content I need to do for it while I'm away, which is really, really amazing because I want to have a proper holiday where I don't have to work every single day, which I've never, ever done. So I think it's only going to end up being a week, but I'm pre-planning for it now, which I'm loving myself
for. I like that. Kicked our ass, don't die, but I've had the odd 3:30 a.m. alarm recently because I have that much work on.
That's mental.
And that is crazy town even for me, and that is kicking my ass a bit at the moment. I need to be able to stop doing that, and I will hopefully once the kids' school holidays start next week and then once they're over, hopefully I'll be able to start getting up at 4:15 again. That would be great.
At the luxurious time at 4:15 a.m. Much more sensible there, Kelly. My kicking our ass is just trying to get ahead. Like, I know I just said that I've been getting ahead with my content, but that's just getting ahead with the everyday stuff. So this year has been so great, and I'm in a really good place work-wise, but I want to next level a whole bunch of stuff, but at the moment, my workload is busy but manageable, but there's no room for growth within that work schedule. So I'm on a hamster wheel. It's a lovely hamster wheel at the moment, but I'd love to be able to redo some things, but I just don't have the time. So it's, that's a little bit kicking my ass at the moment. And most of the time I feel really good about it. But then sometimes when I'm lying in bed, not sleeping before midnight, my brain just kind of goes, oh, if only I had time to do this, if only I had time to do that. But yeah, it's, prioritizing what work to put my effort into is a bit shit sometimes.
Yeah, high impact, high value stuff. Hard to make the call on that.
It is, definitely. And that's just about time to wrap it up. So don't forget that we have a Patreon page, which is live and kicking. We are halfway to our goal of $500 per month, which basically just covers the costs of running the podcast and getting it to you. We've had some amazing pledges in the last couple of weeks, which has been amazing. Most people chuck in $4 a month, which is technically $1 per episode, which is a total bargain. And it's like one cup of coffee a month. And the more people that chuck in a couple of bucks, the more we can keep our podcast in your ears. And if you would like to support us, if you can just go to patreon.com/straightandcurly.
Finally, do jump into the Facebook group and share your thoughts about this week's show. We look forward to chatting with you in there. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.